fantastic. Oh, man, what a wonderful worship service so far this morning. You know, if you can be turning your Bibles over to Romans chapter 12, we're going to delve right on into the scriptures this morning. But before we do that, I want to tell you that I did have a slide that gave you this wonderful picture of a tree in the fall of the year that said the heart of a disciple. But you only get my name this morning, okay? Because I didn't get those emailed over. So nonetheless, so just a picture that the most beautiful fall tree in the shape of a heart before you, the heart of Jesus, right? And this morning, I want to start out by telling you a little bit about myself. But first, I want to note that if you were here this morning, you're wondering, man, where is Dustin and Stevie? Well, they're actually with their family. They had two memorial services in Wisconsin this weekend. So they're strengthening and encouraging their family, just being with them this weekend. So just keep them in your prayers, their family, and they'll be, you know, back this week. But just to let them know that we're thinking about them, all right? And so with that, I'm going to give you a little story first. And there was a young man. His name was Wayne. And I was about 19 years old. And I was sitting in my dining room table at home. Kitchen table, that's what it was. And I was talking to a friend on the telephone, like the one with the landline that you pick up and you dial the numbers. They have on these older shows, you know, you see. But anyway, so, and we had this interesting conversation. They asked me, they said, you know, if you died today, would you go to heaven? It's like, I could not give an answer. This is from a young man that grew up going to church. I went to a parochial school, which was a Lutheran school. I've been studying Bible from the time I was 5 through high school. And so now I'm out of high school, 2 years removed, and I'm going to my junior year in college, and I'm having this conversation with my friend, and I'm like, I don't know. It was one of the worst feelings in the world. And so at that point, I just said, you know what, God, if you can just help me figure out how to be confident about my salvation, confident about my walk with you, I'll do anything. Watch when you say stuff like that to God. I'm just letting you know ahead of time. So about 3 months later, I had an opportunity to come to a very similar fellowship in Detroit. A friend of mine, he invited me. He said, man, why don't you come to church with me? We're having this big outing at the park. It's like 500 people, so much food. It looked like the whole, like, 2 fish and 5 loaves, like, and poof, it was food everywhere. I'm a college student, so, you know, I'm like, bring it. I brought my little 2-liter pop, like, hey, you know, can I get something to eat? And, you know, lo and behold, people were very cool, very friendly, and they actually offered me food, and they're like, look, you walk past 3 different tables, you know you're hungry. Come over and sit down and eat. Okay. You know, so that was it. That was my first experience. The following week, I went back again. I said, you know, this is a little too surreal. These people are like, oh, they're all fired up and all excited and nice. So I'm like, you know, I'm going to go back on a regular Sunday when they're in their little building. We'll see if it's the same thing. You know, this is my little observation, you know, covert mission, right? So nonetheless, my covert mission was failed because there was the people were the same way. This is like they were still in the park again. I'm just like, they should have food. And I was like, really? This is not what I remember growing up. So my friends, after service, they said, you know, man, would you be interested in studying the Bible? I said, Bible study? No problem, man. Do that all the time. I think I'll teach these guys a little something, you know. Yeah, okay. So I looked at my little Franklin Covey planner. That's a paper planner, not an iPad, iPod, you know, smartphone thing. Just, you know, yeah, you know, yeah. With inserts. But anyway, so I looked ahead and I had an hour the following Saturday between 5 and 6 I could get together. I mean, I was interning it for a business, a Fortune 500 company. I was in class, taking classes that summer. So I had a lot of stuff to do. So I'm like, I'll squeeze you guys in, you know. So I'd squeeze them in and That's right. I said it. So at that point, my life changed, because we looked at about three scriptures that in all the time I've been looking at the Bible since I was 5 years old. I'm like, I've never seen these before. Where did you get them from? And they were right there. They always been there, but I just never looked at them or cared to follow. So it took me about 6 weeks to ponder, to wrestle, to think about that question my friend asked me, if I died today, would I go to heaven? And I was like, you know what? I have nowhere to go. I have no way out. The Bible is very clear. I had not been following it. I had not been living it. I don't care what I tried to fake myself out into believing. And I said, you know what? I said, it's time. And God was like, you're right. It is. So I had to repent. I had to change. I had to have a lot of conversations, very hard conversations, with friends, with quote-unquote girlfriend at the time. And I was like, you know, I got to get this right for me. Because Jesus didn't just die for anything. He died for each one of us. But he rose again so we have life, just like he has it. So on July 16th, 1997, I was baptized into Christ. And so that's a bit snapshot of my conversion story. So everyone has their own testimony. So just ask and talk. You'll find some very interesting things about how we came to Christ. And there's more to it. Drop my little star. Sorry about that. If you would, let's pick up in Romans chapter 12. And we're going to talk about the heart of a disciple. The heart of a disciple. Woo! What does that look like? Well, Paul's writing his letter to the church in Rome. And I believe this is the great beginning of how our heart to love and serve should look. And we're going to start in Romans. My first point is the heart to love and serve. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 9. And remember this, love is not about you. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, and as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Question for you. Is your love really sincere and not fake? Sincere, genuine, honest, truthful, natural, authentic. If we took a poll, or if I took a poll of your closest friends, associates, coworkers, family members, would they be in agreement of your assessment of loving them? Would they see it the same? Oh man, I care about everybody. Love, love, love. Would they agree with you? Think before you answer this question. I'm convicted of the question myself, because I think, and I know, I can do a much better job of loving my closest friends, my neighbors, the people that are in my life and I'm in their life, even my family members. You know, my dad only lives 2.5 hours away in Detroit, and I feel like he's getting a little older. He has some health problems. But I feel like, man, I'm not there enough. And I'm actually closer than I've been in the last 6 years to him. And I just like, man, am I loving him at the level that God expects me to? Not to run a guilt trip on myself or anyone, but just really a sober assessment of how am I doing. And would he gauge it the same way that I do? That's just one thought. Our love. How about honoring others above yourself? That's an interesting one. I actually had two slides. Sorry I don't have them for you, but I'll give you a picture. If you've seen the Michael Jackson History album, and it has this big statue of Mike. He made it, and he had it out at the ranch. Okay? Huge. Honoring himself, right? And we'll just throw out a name that's kind of in the news today, but I have nothing to do with what's in the news. I'm just using it as a name. Donald Trump. Every building he builds has to have his name plastered over the building, right? You have to know it's Trump Towers with an S because there's a lot of them, right? It's about me. It's about who I am, and you need to know that. That's what the world portrays us. When you turn on the TV, that's what they take. Man, it's about you. Look out for number one. Look out for yourself. Make sure, man, that you're getting ahead. Well, this scripture just say honor others above yourself. Well, how do I apply that? Well, we need to take a look at Jesus. Now he applied it. You know, as we continue just going through this scripture, I realize that praising ourselves is not what God had in mind. And it's not what Paul is telling the church in Rome. And just to give you an idea, Rome, which is in Italy, was like the superpower during the time of Jesus. They were like the United States. They were known everywhere. They wanted, they got. If they had it, they had it in abundance. So, just think. Paul's writing this letter to people who are, for the most part, probably doing pretty well. And he's like, man, be sacrificial. Honor others. They're like, what? This is not the culture that they're coming up in or that they live around. And it's not what they're hearing from the people that they're working with or their family members. So he was really trying to teach them a new lifestyle that Jesus is calling his disciples to be. But no matter what we're doing, I love the fact that he reminds them. He says, never be lacking in zeal. This is actually one of my favorite scriptures as a young disciple. And even today, it's like, never be lacking in zeal. Keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Man, that's just fires me up. You know, it's just, oh, never be lacking in zeal, you know. So the older you are as a Christian, the more you mature, the longer you've been a disciple, you actually should be more fired up because you know more, you've experienced more, you've seen more that God has done and that he can do. Not, oh, you know, I used to be fired up. You know, back when I was in campus and I was a student, oh, man, I was a, whatever Jesus said. No, that is so backwards. Man, you know, you need to be flying around like Yoda with your little stick, you know, and just, you know, just, oh, man, you know, the force be with you. I don't know, not the force, but you know. you know, Star Wars coming back, so I just throw a plug. But anyway, you know, you should just be more knowledgeable, more zealous, just more of what God has given us. His grace has been that much more because we've been able to live it out that much longer. You know, but what it comes to is the other things in this scripture. And this is not like a list, you do this, but as a disciple, having the heart of a disciple, you want to do these things more and more. Being faithful in prayer. I mean, this is the area that, man, I feel like I'm at mountaintop times, and then I'm like rebuilding at other times. Now I'm kind of more in the continually growing phase, okay? So I went to see a movie a couple weeks ago. It's called War Room. And there was this War Room. It's called War Room. And there was this lady, she's like a grandmother figure, and she was man, oh, she just, oh. She had this closet she go into, and she had prayer lists and scriptures everywhere. People she prayed for, checked off when the prayer was answered, and I'm just like, I was convicted. I'm like, man, I used to do that. I used to have a prayer journal, and wow. So I had to go to a movie to help move me to continue to grow. But that's all right. God uses donkeys at times. He uses movies, whatever it is, you know. He can inspire us, to, you know, in the areas that we need to grow. And so now I'm starting my prayer list again, and, you know, I get about my 15 minutes in the morning before I get in my word, but I get a lot of drive time now. I'm all over greater central Indiana, so I get 15, 20 minutes more time just to pray. You know, I'm out the windshield, and, you know, I'm just like, you know, God, yeah. But I'm deliberate. I could listen to the radio. I could do all kind of stuff, but I'm like, let's just do this. And so God's allowing me to grow. He started with a spark, but he's continuing to allow me to grow. But that's it. It's the heart of a disciple to continue to grow, to continue to be even better in the areas that draws close to God and continues to draw him close to us. You know, one of the things that the scripture says, and this one I think sometimes gets overlooked. It says, practice hospitality. You know, let me just ask this question. Why have some of us, I say some, stopped this committed tradition that all disciples do of practicing hospitality? It's something that was ingrained in us, and when we study the Bible or early on, it's just like, man, just have people over, just, you know, just take them, just do stuff to show the heart of Jesus. Whew. I don't know. I think it's because we, not on purpose, but with life, with children, with activities, with work, with schedules, we just become self-absorbed. And we forget to think outward, like, man, how can I encourage this family? Or this brother or sister. We stop looking for the needs. But let me encourage you. It's not too late. Not too late. You ever seen the show Dare Double Dare? It's an old Nickelodeon show. Okay. You have. Thank you. I got one in the crowd. Can I get two? No, sorry. Oh, so I want to dare you to show hospitality. Sometime this week, yeah, I said this week, I didn't say, you know, over the month, you know. And if it's not possible, amen. But somehow, have someone either over your house or take someone something where you can just show them the heart of Jesus to serve them. Trust me, Jesus was tired. He was preaching, healing, teaching, preaching again. And every time he tried to go get some rest, people found him. He's like, all right, back to work, fellas. But he still gave. I'm not saying that we're Jesus, but we want to have the heart of Jesus. So make some dinner plans or lunch or dessert, whatever it might be. You know, we've had the opportunity, and we live in Canterbury, which just about anybody who lives in Fort Wayne has either lived in or knows somebody who lives in Canterbury. I'm just saying. That's what I found out in the last 2.5 years. So we've had probably about 4 or 5 of our neighbors over for dinner. The funny thing is, I don't know if this is funny or if it's just ironic, we'll have them over for dinner, and in about a month or so later, they'll move. Now, granted, it took about a year to have that dinner or that lunch to happen. So in Canterbury, people only stay about a year, year and a half, and they out anyway. So I don't take it personal, but I'm just like, man, that's mighty ironic, you know. But nonetheless, you know, and my wife is a very good cook, okay? Don't get it. You know what I mean? Hey. But nonetheless, we try, and we keep going on. Move, come in, new neighbors, we got a new chance. Just met them the other day. Come on down, you know. Hopefully, they got about 12 months, you know. But anyway, nonetheless, you know, just showing hospitality. That's the heart of a disciple, right? So Our life is not our own. It belongs to Christ. Christ is calling us to imitate his humility. So let's look back at a couple more scriptures. My second point, have a heart of humility. I only got three. Don't worry, don't get too... It's not a 10-point lesson, only 3 points. So, have a heart of humility, or God will humble you. Pride is despised by God. You don't have to turn there. You can write this one down. Isaiah 2:11 says, "The eyes of the arrogant will be humble, and human pride brought low. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day." That day being the day of judgment. Proverbs 16:18. You hear this one tossed about frequently, probably. Pride goes before destruction. A haughty spirit, that means somebody that's all caught up on themselves and just, you know, I'm all that. Not me, I'm just saying that's what it is. Before a fall. This is the thing, humility comes in many forms. Many forms. Even how we treat what we may call our enemies. You know, people mistreat us, or they might mistreat somebody we love. And in our minds, we want revenge. We're like, man, I'm going to get them back. For, man, they messed up my mama or my brother or my cousin, you know, and I need to do something. Well, let's just look at something right quick. In Romans chapter 12. And I think God helps us when we have those moments of vengeance is mine. God said, no, it's not. Romans chapter 12 and verse 17. It says, do not repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. Verse 19. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. Let's start right there. So when we get caught up and we're like, man, I need to do something, God is like, no, let me do something. You chill out. You go and take a seat. Why don't you pray? Like Wayne, he's been working on that. Why don't you work on that too? But it's not for us to be the ones to take the reins and storm the hill. There are times we need to take a stand, don't get me wrong. But it's not in revenge. There's a young man that I'm a mentor back in Chicago. And he lived on the south side of Chicago. This is probably one of the toughest areas to grow up in the country. I mean, there's a gang, a different one, every couple blocks, and they're all vying for territory. And this young man, you know, he had a little spark in him. Let me leave it at that, okay? So, you know, if you rub him the wrong way too long, he'd light up, okay? That's a nice way to put it. And he'd just go off. But he was also training boxing. So he had, it was the summer before his junior year, he was taking a summer class, and all his friends, they knew these things about him. And so every day, you know, they just, oh, man, you're so-and-so, man, they want to, man, they want to box you, or, man, you know, so-and-so said something about you, and they had the little phones out, you know, the little smart, not-so-smart phones, and they, man, you know, man, look, and they get in crowds and groups, and he like, oh, no, I'm not about that, you know, I just, you know, And so we get together and a couple times a week in the evening. We're studying the Bible and we're talking. He's like, man, they're all over me, man. They just want me to fight. He's like, but so, you know, I've been holding out, man. It's been at least 3 days now. I'm like, okay. So at least I caught him on the front end of things, right? So I said, look, this is what we need to do, because it's not going to stop. Because they want to see you at your worst. And they want to get on camera and then blast it on YouTube. Forget about your future career. So, So we talked. I said, look, this is what you need to do. You need to talk to your teachers and the principal. I talked to the teachers. They ain't doing nothing. They actually there in the corner waiting. I'm like, oh, okay, great. So I'm like, let's get some people involved. If it's the police, whatever. And so he actually followed my advice. I said, look, if you need me to come to the school, I'll come down there. We'll come down and I'll talk to the principal with you. We'll talk to whatever we need to do. Because I don't want to see you in a situation. Because it starts at school and it ends up in the streets. And it doesn't usually end well. And so I have to give this young man, I mean, a high school junior, I give him props because he stood his ground and he let the principal, the authorities handle it. Now, the thing that went well for him at the end of that year, he actually transferred schools in the fall, okay? He went to another district, but he was able to make it through the summer with a lot of opposition because everything in him, because it wasn't just people were taunting him, but they were doing things. But he didn't take his revenge in his own hands. He allowed God to work. And so, you know, he's still around to this day. You know, he's graduated, he's in college now. But the thing is, one bad decision, and that changes everything. So when God says vengeance is mine, he means that because he can only do it the right way. Our way is usually the wrong way. So the end of Romans 12 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. It's God's way, not ours. Last point, the heart to become or live as a disciple. Starts with humility. Starts with the heart to love. But it follows through with a heart of living the life that Jesus is calling us to. Let's look over Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. I hope y'all with me. If you need to stand up or stretch, that's fine. You can throw out an amen. That's all right. I'm okay. I don't get offended. You know, I like crowd participation. Because I'm going to participate. So, here we go. Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 14. The heart to become or live as a disciple. Mark chapter 1, 14. Jesus is walking along. He's getting his ministry started up here. And he says, it says, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God, preaching the word. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once, they left their nets and followed him. When they'd gone a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Let's stop right there for a minute. Come and follow me. It's not about what you want to do. It's about what Jesus wants us to do, you and me. He said, I'll make you fishers of men. He gave them a new vision for their life. They had a profession, they had a job, they had a career. But he said, man, I want to give you a new vision. I got something else for you. How about for the teens? You're in high school. I just talked about one young man, made some good decisions. What's stopping you from making a decision to make Jesus Lord, to make fishers of men instead of just fishing? Maybe you're a campus student. You know, got things going on, careers ahead, life's your oyster. You know, I don't know, I heard that somebody say that one time. Yeah. Your life is yours, whatever you want to call it, right? Sky's the limit. You're untouchable. Everything's before you. Fun, activities, maybe sports. Maybe just a relationship, maybe a few relationships. Or maybe just being the best in your classes so you can get the best job. I think now's the time to take the dare. I want to make Jesus Lord. I'll tell you this, nothing else is absolute besides Jesus. If you don't believe me, I double dare you to study it out. And if you are, don't stop. Continue. I'll share with you a little bit about my story. My decision to study the Bible, just because I wanted to answer a question. And when they asked me, I said yes. And I did it. This is one of the myths that Satan throws out to those that are trying to find out what it means to become a Christian and live the Christian life, or even for disciples. Oh, you know what? When you get more time, you can really live out that disciple life. You know, you can really live the Christian life that God is calling you. You know, once you graduate from school, and when, you know, you settle down and have your family, or maybe when the kids are a little older, then you can really, you know, do all that hospitality and giving and putting others above yourself. You know, then you'll have time for all those other things. Let me share this with you. No time, no day, no hour is convenient to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. If you think it is a lie from Satan. And he is fooling you. So, this is not doom and gloom, but it's reality. Jesus said he wants you to wholeheartedly follow him. What's stopping you from doing that? Maybe if you're studying the Bible or you're considering that, here are a couple questions that I've had people ask me. And actually, when I'm sharing my faith or talking to people about Jesus or about the Bible, these are some of the things that have turned off people to just Christianity in general. They say, well, I can't get the answers I'm looking for. Nobody wants to answer what I have to ask them. Or, man, I have some questions about the Bible or God, and, you know, I don't really know if you understand. Well, let me tell you this. One of the things that I share with people, and somebody shared with me over and over again over the years, if you don't know the answer, say, you know what? Let me get back to you. I'll find the answer because it's in the Bible. If it has to do with God or Jesus, it's in the Bible and I will get it to you. And don't be afraid to say that. You know, for young people, for teens, for college students, you're the future of God's kingdom. What's to come? Don't stop now or shortcut yourself for what God has in store for you. You know, for those adults of us, those mature parents, God is saying to us, be prepared to answer the questions the young people may have for you. Or if you're the one trying to figure out what is it that life really has in this time of my life or my midlife or whatever it is, God still has an answer for that too. The key is this. It's not about you and me. It's about Jesus. You know, I would encourage us to just apply a couple things to our life, to our heart, if we're living out this life as a disciple or we want to live it out. Just a couple practicals. Decide, I'm going to read my Bible every day. Or maybe that's not the key for you. Then listen to it. Then read it. Or read and listen. Whatever. Take the Bible in every day. Decide to repent. Change the things that hurt God and hurt Jesus in your life and turn it around to things that show that you love God and you have a heart for God. Decide to confess your sin. Get help. The ugly, the dark stuff, even the stuff you don't think is that bad. God wants to hear it, and he has somebody there in your life to help you. The key is, this is what our response to God should look like. And I'm not going to share this whole scripture. It's in Mark 1, 40. But I just want to tell you about this leper who came and encountered Jesus and how his life changed after his encounter with Jesus. In Mark 1:43, it says, Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. See that you don't tell this to anyone about how you've been healed. But go and show yourself to the priest and offer sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Instead, he went out and began talking freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter the town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet, the people still came from everywhere. The leper was healed. Jesus said, look, don't tell nobody what I did to you. The first thing he did, look, mama, look, you can now, but look, I can actually come in the house now. He's going to the store. I mean, he couldn't go anywhere, ever. Lepers were put outside the community. And we don't know the extent of his leprosy either. The skin is, you could see it. He's like, okay, yeah. Man, you know what happened to me yesterday? You know, he just didn't let it go. For us, when we decide to follow Jesus, it's not like, oh, man, you know, I'm a Christian now. Amen. Praise God. No! It's like, man, you can't contain it. And you want to tell everybody. I can't say I'm like that all the time. I'm not. But, man, that's the heart that I want to have. Never be lacking in zeal. Keep our spiritual fervor as we're serving the Lord. Man, let's do like this leper did and go out and share what's burning on our hearts to share. Like some of, oh, well, they might not understand. So what? Stuff come on the TV all the time I don't understand. I don't even want to look at it. So I change the channel. If they don't want to hear you, they'll change the channel. Or say, I don't want to hear you. Just go on. But that's all right. We do like the disciples. They were rejoiced for being persecuted in the name of Jesus, right? But remember, spread it. Share what God has given you to share. That's the heart of a disciple. And I'll be remiss if I didn't share this. Just as I wrap up, is if you are wondering, what is this guy talking about? This preacher? Talk to a friend who brought you. Talk to somebody here. They'll walk through the scriptures with you to help you understand what this means. Will it mean a change in your life? Will it mean a radical change? Will it mean people will be like, who are you now? Yes, I guarantee you. That's exactly what it's going to look like. But guess what? You will feel so refreshed, so alive, and so renewed that you won't be able to contain yourself anymore, okay? So let's decide to love and serve. Let's decide to have the humility of Christ, or God will humble us. Let's decide to live as disciples, or better yet, for those of us that need to, become disciples. And let nothing stop you. Be on a rampage to be what God needs you to be. Take your decision to heart and live out God's call to be his disciple in your home, in your workplace, in your neighborhood, in your high school, on campus, at IPFW. The power of his spirit will guide you. I challenge you today, have the heart of a disciple. Amen.